Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Well, today is Thursday. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I'm glad you tuned in today. We've been talking about the blood covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham, saying, you know, the blessing, the value of it, the benefits for it. That's what we've been talking about. We're going to continue with that. We've been in Galatians, and remember I was saying it'd be good to read all of Galatians, the third chapter, and read Romans, the fourth chapter, and read Genesis, the 12th chapter, when God first made mention and was talking to Abraham. Because, you know, it's such a blessing when we come into the knowledge and understanding of what, of who we are in Christ. You know, I am so thankful for this day. And then I'm thankful for being saved. I'm a born-again believer, and I tell you, I am so grateful. I remember as a child growing up in the church, and when I got in the Pentecostal movement, I remember the late Mud Chain and Mother Maxwell used to say, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, five baptized on my way to heaven. And they would be, when they would give their testimony, they would show so much excitement about being saved. And at that time, I was ignorant and I was still in the, I didn't understand, you know, what they was really referring to. But I thank and praise the Lord for the day that I got saved. And I ain't going to tell nobody it been a bed of roses, because that's not true. I done experienced a lot of trials, tribulation, persecution, false accusation. But I thank and praise the Lord for the heart that I have. I will to do right. And that's the glorious thing about salvation. Once you truly be born again, the Bible tells us that you're not you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old thing passed away, and behold, all things come new. But again, like I said, I just thank and praise the Lord for this. For this opportunity, thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. I thank God for what he's doing for both of them. It's such a blessing. And I tell you, pray for the those in authority. Let's don't cast your shadow. The Bible said the heart of the king in the hand of the Lord. And I'm not just only talking about spiritual leaders, but I'm talking about those in the White House. Don't be so quick to condemn them. Pray for them. The Bible tell us, and that's what God told, Paul told Timothy, that first of all, we need to give thanks and pray for those that in authority. And let's pray for people in authority. Don't be so quick to condemn them. You know, one of my leaders, the late Ida Bell Parker, used to say a lot of time, when I would go to her with certain complaints, she would say, did you pray for them? The first thing she would ask me, did I pray for him? And then next she would say, what the words say about it? You know, and I thank God for leaders that God placed in my life that helped me to see the value, the importance of the word of God. You know, Jesus said those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus even said, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And there, too, again, we need to make sure, now like never before, we need to make sure that our opinion is based upon the Word of God, that the Word of God is the final authority in our life, because there's so many things is going on. Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus said, let no man deceive you. We're in the greatest hour of deception, and the way to overcome it, the way to be able to discern deception, it's aligning up with what the words say. And this is something that I pray daily for me, that I pray the prayer that Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, Ephesians, the third chapter, Philippians, the first chapter, Colossians, the first chapter. I pray those prayers because I'm constantly asking God that open up my spirit to eyes and that he would grant me not only knowledge, but the wisdom of his word, because it is so important. And again, I thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and the Lord for allowing us to take part. But we're going to continue. We was Monday, remember, we talked about Galatians 3 and 28. Just a quick little review. I don't think I'm going to be in that all day this evening. I want to finish it up. But, you know, we started in Romans, the first chapter, about how God done reveal his truth to humanity. And, y'all, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what God want, but you with that excuse. I know for a certain, based upon what God's word said, God done made it possible for somebody to come in your past and say something about the Bible. If not, that you probably done picked it up yourself and read a little bit from the Bible. But we was in Galatians, the third chapter, and like I said, I was advising everybody to really read it. Let me pray, and we're going to go on. Father, it's in Jesus' name, I thank you now. I thank you, Father, for the airways is clear. I thank you for the Holy Spirit being released over the airways. I thank you, Lord, for those that would tune into the broadcast. I thank you, Father, for bringing enlightenment and not only just knowledge, but bringing understanding and enlightenment and revelation to those that would tune into the broadcast. I thank you and I praise you for it, Father, right now. The broadcast, the airways are covered with the blood of Jesus, and I decree that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we was in Galatians, the third chapter, and at that 28th verse, we talked about how Jesus came to liberate the daughters of Abraham. Now, I want you to, when I said that, there's so much in that 28th verse. In Galatians, the third chapter, the 28th verse, it said, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now in Galatians, the third chapter, the 13th verse, I love what it said. I'm at the 11th verse first. It said, but that no man is justified by the law. He's talking about the Mosaic law. In the sight of God, you're not made in right standing with God by obeying the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was like a schoolmaster unto the fullness of time for Jesus to come on the earth. A lot of people don't realize it, but the Mosaic law didn't come into existence. It was 430 years after Abraham had died that the Mosaic law came, was established. But guess what? God did not forget about the promise he made to Abraham and his seed. Remember, if you go to Romans, the fourth chapter, it talks about how God told Abraham that you would be a father of many nations. And that was before the law even came on the scene. But the law was to reveal to man, the law was to reveal to man what God wanted from his people or what God wanted from mankind. But as I stated, you want to know about the curse, you go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. It tell you about the blessing. It tell you about the curses. But in the new covenant, thanks be to God, the Bible tells us that we have a better covenant with better promise. And I thank and praise the Lord when it tell us, like I said in that 11th verse, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evidence. For the just shall live by faith. That is so powerful. Faith is not based upon how I feel and what I see, contrary to what God's words say. Faith is based upon what God's words say. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, if any man come to God, he first must believe that God is, and God is a rewarder of those that diligently seeketh him. Well, that remind me in Matthew, the 6th chapter, it tell us that we don't need to seek God for the necessary things of life, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what we're going to wear. But it tell us that we must seek out the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and these things will be added. Seek out God's way of doing things. And if you are born-again believer, if you've been saved, if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to be seeking out the will of God, what God say about himself, what God say about you, and it'll help you. Then it goes in the 12th verse. He said, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ have redeemed, listen at me good, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I'm telling you, like I said, it would do you good to look up covenant. If you got a computer, you can go check it out. You can get more knowledge and more understanding if you just do a study, because y'all, we in the new covenant. We, if you're born again believer, you in the new covenant, and it's certain blessings that belong to you and I because we Abraham's seed. Like I said, I didn't want to stay there, but we talked about when he said in that Galatians 3:28, when he said there is neither Jew nor Greek. Now when he started telling you about each one of these, because if you see when he said there's neither Jew nor Greek, it's a period. There's neither bond nor free, another period. There's neither male nor female. He did that because in each one of them, they was in slavery. They were separated from other race of people. They were separated. Certain things, the Jews only wanted to deal with the Jews. They didn't want to fool with the Gentiles. And then when he said, nor bond, nor free, he would tell, God didn't just want one type of person to be free. And like, now I said I wasn't going there, but look like I'm going there anyway, ain't I? Okay, well, let me get my Living Bible, because like I said, you know, when you're doing this a lot of time, you don't want to go too fast that people miss out, because the Bible said we perish because of lack of knowledge. Come on, somebody. That's what the Bible said. You perish because of lack of knowledge. There's so many people that is born again, but because they don't know who they are in Christ or what Christ paid for, they walk around in bondage. Come on, somebody. They walk around in bondage. Let me go to, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Y'all know Prophet Miller loves her Living Bible. Yes, I like the Living Bible. I'm going to read them same verses, Galatians 3:13 from the Living Bible. And this is what it said, Galatians 3:13, hallelujah, hallelujah. It said, but Christ have rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. Through the work of Christ, Jesus, God have blessed the Gentile with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, the Jews, they always look down on the Gentile. But like I said, he said in the 28th verse, there's no Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, neither is there male or female. And I showed you, and we discussed this in detail on Monday. I'm sorry, today, Thursday. On Monday, we talked about how Christ liberated females, because the females, they were considered as property, like an animal or something. You know, they was not highly recommended. They was belittled. They always was in the far back. They was not out front. You can find it out through reading in Old Covenant. You get in the New Covenant. You see a lot of time in the New Covenant, you see what Jesus gave certain honor and certain respect to female. But you remember, and I shared with you, I ain't going to say too much on this here, but remember what we shared with Jesus. When they caught the woman that in adultery, they borrowed the woman. They didn't show the man. That's just where it was. A lot of the Pharisees, they just used the women to do what they wanted. We also find in one of the scriptures how this woman had been bent over, and on Sabbath day how Jesus set her free. And the Jews, they were picking at Jesus about it. And Jesus told them, said, now, if any of you had an ox or anything in the ditch, would you not go and deliver him on Sabbath day? And this woman who Satan done bound for these 12 years, you mean to tell me y'all don't want to set her free? So there, too, again, Jesus set females and liberated them free. And I really was sensing in my spirit on Monday when we discussed this here that the Lord was letting me know a lot of time we have a lot of females them been abused by males. A lot of them been raped, incest. They done dealt with a lot of things. And a lot of them growed up with that in them, and some of them were still in bondage. But we prayed in Jesus' name that you would be set free, that God would heal you, because Jesus paid for your freedom. And that's why I said when you go and dissect, read up on the Jews, the Greek, and you read up about the male and the female and all of them, and they tell us that we won in Christ. We still, and remember, I showed you in, how Joel prophesied and said that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters will pray. He said that. And so there too again, but you still have some people that they still have a problem with female. You have some males, they still have a problem with female ministers and all that. And as I stated, no, God didn't set the female free for us to be dominary. To dominate a man. No. Once you come in truly into the knowledge, understanding the revelation of Christ, you will see that that ain't what it's all about. That's looking at somebody from the natural. But that was not God's plan. I want to go into 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, but I wanted you to know that females, Jesus have liberated you. And you don't have to continue to be in bondage regardless of what happened to you in life. God wants you to know that in Jesus' name you can be set free. He wants you to know in Jesus' name you can forgive. You can forgive. You can forgive the victim. Whatever a male did to you, you can cry out. And by faith, you can forgive them, because the Bible said, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, neither will he forgive you. And that's the thing that sometimes that I observe in traveling. And, you see a lot of people in bondage because they don't want to forgive. And so many people have said, well, I forgive, but I won't forget. Yeah, you can remember, but if you truly not forgave them, you don't go around. The pain is gone, and you don't go around discussing what they done did. The Bible said that when we ask God forgiveness for us, the east and from the west, he don't remember our sin. God don't go around remembering our sin. He forgive us for his sake. And we supposed to operate or walk in that same forgiveness, and you can by faith. I forgive you because God required me to forgive you, and my forgiveness is based on me forgiving you. See, these are laws and principles of the kingdom, and I'm finding out some teaching and preaching is not about the kingdom. The kingdom is the good news of Christ. The kingdom talk about the good news of Christ is nobody have to be in bondage, nobody. No more. Nobody has to be a slave to sin or any kind of addiction. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. No one don't have to be sick and plagued with sickness and disease all your life. That's the good news of Christ. That's the kingdom. And I'm like I said, I'm going into 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I want to share some more with you because, like I said, this blessed me. And I'm sure it'll bless you because Jesus not only in the saving business, and I had to learn this. And a lot of you don't hear my testimony more than one time. I got saved because, some people say you can't get hooked on marijuana. I did. I got hooked on marijuana, and I wanted to be delivered, and I didn't want to go to hell. And that's when the Lord, I got saved. The Lord delivered me from marijuana, from the drinking, the pills. I got delivered from that. And once I got saved, I had this a burning and deep desire to know God and His Word. I just read the Word. Once I got through doing my daily routine and working on a job and come home, clean up, and fed my family, my children and stuff, I would get in my Word, and I just read that Bible. It looked like everything I was reading, it was like God, well, He really was. He was talking to me. The reality, it was so real. The Bible came alive to me. It was no more just word on a page. And I thank God His Word still is important. But we living in a time, a lot of people don't allow the enemy to cause them so busy that they don't have time to read the Word. And let me tell you something. You're not going to have strong faith and confidence and trust in God if you're not a student of His Word. You can't just sit around and listen at preaching all the time and want somebody else to give you the Word of God and bring understanding of the Word and revelation, and you don't get it yourself. The way God, the Bible said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. But like I said, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Okay? We want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at that 11th verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to the 16th verse, because that 16th verse is what I want to talk about. Like I said, when you really study the covenant of God, you will find out when Jesus said, and say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That word, world, means all race of people. And when I hear people talk about racism and prejudice, bitterness, and that somebody have not come into the knowledge and understanding and the revelation of Jesus Christ. He died for all race of people. Now, I don't deny I'm a black woman. I thank and praise the Lord because I didn't choose what race or what color I wanted to be. That was God's choice. I didn't choose my parents, the late Willie and Louise Green. That was God's choice. I didn't choose the color of my skin, the course of my hair. I didn't have a choice in the matter. But I thank and praise the Lord. But I found out once I came a believer, as a black woman, African-American woman, I was my inheritance. I was a limit in my natural inheritance. I was a limit. Certain thing I probably would never be, I could never accomplish because I was a black woman, you know, because I had the enemy still try to use race, and some people, they look at you funny. But at that time, I didn't have no knowledge and understanding about what it meant, the reality for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And like I said, once I got saved and I got in the Word and I found out, according to John 10:10, that it wasn't only God's will for me to have eternal life, but He also wanted me to enjoy life while I was here on the earth. And He made it possible, thank you, Lord, through Jesus Christ, that I can, even as a black African woman, where I was limited according to my skin, but in the spirit realm, I am not limited. And that go for you too. You know, sometimes people, and I hear some this millennial generation, some of them say, well, my daddy didn't do this, and my mom and dad didn't have this, and we didn't have this, and we couldn't get this. And they belittle them, but they don't understand the time that our parents were living in. I thank God for everything the late Willie Green and the late Louise Green and all of my uncles and aunts, what they did for me. No, I didn't agree with everything that they did. You know, a lot of you know my daddy, before he got saved, he was very abusive. Life put a bad one on daddy. but daddy didn't know God. And see, when somebody don't have a relationship with God or don't receive Jesus as their personal Savior, they father is the devil. They're going to be influenced by the devil to mistreat you. They're going to go beyond. They're going to go contrary to what God say. But if you got parents that is not saved, you're going to have some problem. If you got relatives not saved, you're going to have some problem. Because the Bible said their father is the devil. And Jesus said, I believe it's in John, the 6th chapter, you would do what your father. They were saying, Abraham, my father. He said, no, Abraham, it's not your father. Because if Abraham were your father, y'all would receive me. And that's what it is. If you have not received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and develop that personal relationship with God, you're going to go according to the world system. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go according to the world system. Amen. That's what people do. Okay, I tell you, we're in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And like I said, I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, the verse 11 all the way down to 16, and I'm going to go to the Amplified. Okay? 2 Corinthians, and I'm in Galatians, 2 Corinthians, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus, praise. Let's do a praise break while I'm looking. I'm going to 2 Corinthians in my Living Bible. God is so good. I just praise God. The weather is changing, hallelujah. How many of you know that? The weather is changing, and I don't know about you. I thank and praise the Lord for allowing me to see this time. Hallelujah. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5, start at verse 11. I'm reading from the Living Bible. It is because we know the solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart before God. If it is seen that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for your benefit. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love control us. And see, that's the thing that in the King James verse, in the King James version, it tells us that the love of Christ constrained us because we too judge that if one died for us, then we all dead. And there too again, when we start dealing with the color of your skin, if you have not come into the knowledge and understand, you'll put everybody and you'll separate people based upon the color of their skin. God don't do that. No, that is not of God. You know, you can tell people to have a problem with racism of the color of your skin. It's in their heart. It's in their heart. They probably have had a bad experience. Because, you know, when I listen to people and separate people because the color of their skin, you got some mean black folks, you got some mean white folks, you got some mean Caucasian, whatever color, different race of people, you got some of mean in each group. But you see, people don't understand Jesus. When Jesus, because of his coming, death, burial, and resurrection, we said Jesus can unify all race of people. He can unify us if we let him. Come on, somebody. I'm not naive. I know everybody ain't saved. I know that. But I'm telling you, one of the reasons Christ died, to unify, and I'm going to show you, because I'm going to show how he came to reconcile us back to our Creator. Remember, when we first started about a month ago, we were talking about as an act of our will. The strongest thing about us, God gave us a will. God not going to override your will. God is not going to violate your will. And when I found that out, when I started praying for other people and believing God for other people, God will begin to deal with their heart, begin to show. But God would not make the decision for them. It's just like he said, and I think it's Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. He said, I set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. You choose. But he said, choose life that you and your seed may live, you know. If you ain't living right, guess what? You hurting a whole generation people. Really. Yes, you are. Unless somebody come through that lineage, through that generation, and receive Jesus. I'm telling you, when you get blessed, you bless your children. As long as your generation live. Okay? And now, I'm going to continue to read because, like I said, I'm going to say, it is because Christ loved control us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone. Look, he died for everyone. Now, that don't mean everyone going to receive Jesus, their Lord and Savior. That's one of my mission, and all born-again believers, is to witness to the lost. Now, I don't learn, you know, everybody is not going to receive Jesus. That's just something I had to, the Lord helped me to accept. Now, his God will for everybody to be saved. Everybody can be saved regardless the color of your skin, but everybody is not going to be saved. But thanks be to God for grace. God help us to accept and deal with people that choose not to receive Jesus and live the way God wants them to live. That's why, remember, we even said in one series that we love a born-again believer. If you truly been born again, the love of God, the agape love, will cause you to love unconditional. A person that is not saved, they love conditional. Ero and philo. As long as you're doing what they want. The moment you cross them, you can forget it. But a born-again believer, because the agape love is on the inside, because of the Holy Spirit is on the inside, if you choose to forgive, you can keep loving and walk in forgiveness. He says, since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. Now, like I said, I'm reading this right now from the Living Bible. Then I'm going to go read it from the Amplified and probably read it from the King James. You need to get this. If you're a born-again believer, you done died to the old life. You done died. If it were bitterness, resentment, and jealousy, you done died to all of that. Not saying you won't be tempted to jealousy and hatred. Yes, you'll be tempted to do it, but you can resist it in the name of Jesus. You can cast down those thoughts and those imaginations. You don't have to receive a year to bitterness and resentment in Christ. See, that's the thing a lot of people don't realize. When you look at, and I'm gonna read a little bit from my notes. The enemy, and like I said, I'm going to talk about reconciliation. Racism, divorce, family feud, argument between friends and associates, all of these are devices the devil used to hinder the ministry of reconciliation. The devil do not want us to get along. The devil don't want you, me, and any race of people to know. We all, in reality, we came from God. We all, yeah, God might have used your parents. They might be, the color of their skin is different than mine, but God was the one. Choose them to be your parent. When the reality of that kick in, it makes a difference. But if you ain't born again, it don't. And these are spiritual problems, which is why they cannot be solved political with program. They are design of the devil. And y'all see, the devil know that he knows that the end is coming. So he continued to try to cause separation and division within the body of Christ. And see, the enemy fight the body of Christ hard because he don't want us to operate in the spirit of reconciliation. He don't want us to get along because of the color of our skin. But as I stated, because of covenant. I can come in covenant with any color people. If they say, regardless of the color of their skin, if they've been born again, we can come in that in agreement with that blood covenant that God made with Abraham. That's why people take communion. That's one of the things that bring to remind us the covenant that somebody died for us to be free. Somebody died so we can be restored back to our Creator. And I'm telling you, he won't, and listen at me good, the enemy is the one that causes separation, division within the body of Christ. He wants Christians to find some reason to dislike one another So he used forces like envy and jealousy and strife to keep some gap between us. And that's what we is born again believers. God, open up our eyes even the more to see the root of jealousy, envy, and strife and separation, competition. It is from the devil. That's what he do. He know if we come together, as Matthew 18 said, any two touching and agreeing, asking anything in my name, it shall be done. But if you ain't in, Amos said, how can two walk together except they agree? Well, the enemy go to extreme measure. He do not want you and I to come in agreement with the word of God. Ask me, been there, done that. When my eyes came open, it caused me to weep, to have godless sorrow, because the enemy, his little strategy that he used on me, against me, to cause me to look down on people with the color they are being filled with people because the color of their skin and all of that. Y'all, that wasn't God that talk belittle and talk bad about them. I used to hear some of my relatives talk about the white and say all kind of names about them and all of this. And when I went to school, I still was hearing all that stuff. But then when I got born again, and God began to open up my eyes, and he gave me St. John 3:16. When he said, for God so loved the world, he said, I ain't talking about them trees. I ain't talking about the house. I ain't talking about the land. I'm talking about every race, every color of people. I love them, Ann. And all of y'all came from me. Now, some might say, yeah, but a lot of people ain't going to treat you like that. Let me tell you something. You don't have to give an account for nobody but you. That's why the Bible said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. If you really want to see the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in a servant, if you get rid of all of this jealousy and strife and division and prejudice and racism, we'll see the move of God like they did in the upper room. Because the Bible tell me in Acts, in the upper room, it was all race of people was in the upper room. But the Bible said they was on one accord. But do you not know that the extreme measure, the enemy go to keep us from coming? I have observed that in marriage. I have observed that in family. I mean, you know, I don't know about your family, but in my family, I can always see what the enemy trying to bring strife, in division, separation, jealousy. I mean, I see it. And I had to pray, God, help me, show me how to avoid it. Show me how to keep the peace. You know, a lot of people in the natural, if you born again and you trying to keep peace in the family, they say, you scared. No, I'm not. But see, I know what strife and division do. What it do, it hinder the manifestation of God. That's why the Bible tells us to avoid strife. Avoid. The Bible tells us to avoid bitterness and resentment and malice. The Bible tells us to do that. And guess what? God would never ask you and I to do anything that he have not graced us with the ability to do it. You know, I hear some men, you know, sometimes counsel, the man say, well, my wife just got to accept that just the way I am. And I, you know what I tell them? As the Lord lead me, that ain't the way God would have you to be. You ain't got to stay like that. God can change you if you allow him. You know, ain't nobody going to make me do nothing. No. The reason why you think like that, because God created you, that don't nobody supposed to make you do nothing. You offer yourself. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God in due time. He would do what he'll raise you up. He'll exhort you. Oh, this is good. I didn't know I was going to go this way, but this is good. This is good. This is good. Okay? So like I said, let me go back. It said the love of God constrained us because we through judgment that if one died for all, then we all did. And that he died for all. Listen, he talking about Jesus. And that he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves. Now he talking about people that born again. But unto him which died for them and rose, we supposed to be living for Christ. If you're a born again believer, you supposed to be denying you. Jesus said, if any man going to fall after me, let him deny himself. You don't live for yourself no more. You live for Christ. God, what would you have me to do? We all supposed to follow the example of Jesus. Nevertheless, my will, but thy will be done. That's what we're supposed to do. Nevertheless, my will, Lord, but your will be done. We will always deal with situation and circumstances and temptation that gonna cause us to try to have it our way and not do it God way. That's the fight of faith. That's what we need, faith, so we cannot live and move and respond according to our five senses, our emotion, you know. Something that God have really, it been ringing in my soul for years, in my spirit, but now more than ever, and be led by the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying about this situation? You know, some people, because they, and you got some born-again believers, because they haven't dedicated, hey, God, thank you, because they haven't developed a personal relationship with the Trinity. They want to know something. They go to people. Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to communicate with people, but your first priority is with God. I tell ministers that I mentor, your first allegiance is to God, not to man. It's to God first. And let the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead and guide us. Yes, the Bible says submit to them that are in authority, those that are over you. But if they trying to get you to do something contrary to the word of God, you need to check out. You need to seek the Lord and check out. Because God, we going to give an account based upon what the word say, that if we did it, it did. Okay, look at the 16th verse. This really, I said all of that to come to this verse. Wherefore, henceforth, know we not after the flesh. Look. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. If you trying to get along with people according to the flesh, you ain't gonna make it. It's gonna be like a roller coaster, up and down. That's what he's saying. But once we get born again, we do not post to deal with you or look at you according to the flesh. Look, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He was saying that one time, we know Christ according to the flesh, where we don't know him no more according to the flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a good word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he was saying. Then he said, therefore, if any man, 17 verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means if you've been born again, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, talking about his habits, his ways, all that. Behold, all things have become new, and all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what, like I told you, that's what I'm talking about. Reconciliation. According to God's word, it's a difference between a sinner and a Christian, a sinner or a saint. And what he was saying, that the love of Christ is supposed to control us, it's supposed to impel us. The love of Christ. And the Holy Spirit going to always inspire me and lead me to live according to what God's word say. He going to always lead and cause me to deal with my circumstance and respond to regardless of my circumstances, my situation and temptation according to what the Bible say. That's why you need to read the Bible. You hear what I'm saying? Now, like I said, I'm going to read it. I'm finna read it now from my living Bible. I just read it from the Living Bible. Come on, Prophet Miller. Come on, now get it together. Okay, I'm going to read it from the, let me get my Amplified, because I want you to see this, because after I say, this is so important. I didn't read all of that, because I did stop. Since we believe, he died, I'm in 15 verse, I'm still in the Living Bible. Let me go back, I didn't finish it. Since we believe in Christ and he died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. I read it from the King James. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world think about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being, how differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians, become new persons, they are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, the new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God have given us the tack of reconciling people to him. That's why as born-again believers, we post a witness to as many people that God allow us to get them to be reconciled back to God. If you're not saved, you have not. You cannot have a relationship with God. It only comes through repenting and believing and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And like I said, we living in a time, it's a lot of things happening in the world. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of hurt. It's a lot of hatred and bitterness. But you can have peace in Christ. Other words, Christ can give you the peace, as the Bible said, past all understanding. You can forgive people, and you can release bitterness and resentment again. God will help you. Now, sometime I found out, even if your circumstance or your situation don't change, but God can change you so that your circumstance or your situation will not stress you out. It won't have you walk around in bitterness and hatred and resentment against people. Oh, I know that. I'm an example of it. He did it for me. He would do it for you. The power of the Holy Spirit will release you, enable you with the ability to do it. Oh, that's a good word. Hallelujah. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did, and God have given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. God is not counting your sins against you. No, because Jesus paid for it. But in order for you to be totally free from your sin nature, you have to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And like I said, that's what we're going to be talking about, reconcile, the spirit of reconciliation. It said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer count people's sin against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We utter you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, I can hear somebody say, Prophet Miller, I don't need that. Well, if you don't need it, pass it on to your neighbor. Come on, somebody. I'm saved. I already know that, really. I found out your actions speak louder than your words. Are you operating in it? If you operate in it, well, hallelujah, thanks be to God. You got it. But listen, I know even if you done got this knowledge and this understanding, I can tell you that I know from time to time the enemy going to come and try to tempt you and cause you to stop living and doing what the words say. I found out the Bible tells us, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. And I don't know about you, but it comes sometime I have to wrestle with trials and tribulation and persecution, because sometimes my soul, my emotion do not want to line up with what God's word say. It don't want to do what God's word say. I want to walk around, been there, want to walk around and hold stuff, and God's saying no. That's why a lot of time the enemy will give you every excuse under the sun where you don't forgive him, but you know you just don't want to be in their company. You don't want to do that. Think about it. What is you holding on to? God, that's why it's so important. Go back what the Bible say. If you read what the Bible say about forgiveness and you operating in that where you don't forgive based upon what God say. But I found out the enemy can sneak in there and give you every reason under the sun and have you doing what God say. And then he'll say, but. Well, you know I'm only human. See, the enemy going to always give you and I a reason or give us, cause us excuse ourselves from doing what God say. okay, in 2 Corinthians, my Amplify. I know we ain't going to get through with this today, but we're talking about the spirit of reconciliation and all of that because I'm telling you, God loves all of us. And I'm telling you, and like I said, Jesus is the one who died for every human being on the face of this earth, for every black man, every white man, every Mexican man, every Oriental man. He died for every man, for every woman, for every boy, every girl. He died for our enemies and for our friends. So as the Bible tells us in Second Corinthians 5:14, if one Christ died for all of us, then we all are dead. Christ paid a price, I'm telling you. And don't let nobody tell you, you can forgive your enemy. Yes, you can, regardless to the color of their skin. But you need to make up in your mind, okay, God, you said forgive, and I'm going to do it by faith. See, the Bible tells us, know no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. If I deal with you according to the flesh, I wouldn't deal with you at all because I have something in my heart against you. I can find some. You can find some. That's why you don't need to deal with people according to the flesh because the flesh will always give you a reason to be little or dislike somebody because all of us have some flaws. I tell people that all the time. All of us have flaws, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit that abides on the inside. He always calls us to forgive. He'll help you to forgive. He'll help you to treat your enemy like they would think you did, but you can treat them the way God said treat them. But you got the will to. Now, this message, teaching like this, people don't want to receive it because they want to hold on. But you don't know what they did to me. Well, you haven't really come into the knowledge, understanding the revelation of what Christ. Listen, Christ didn't do anything to cause him to die. But he came and died for you and I. He was the perfect lamb. He lived the law to the T. He kept every law that was asked of him. He kept it. That's why they call him a perfect lamb, a pure lamb. He died in my place. I should have been the one there. He died for you and I. All of my mess, all of your mess, your worstest enemy. Like I said, that's why I want to. He died for all. And that's why it tells us after he died. Let me read it from the Amplify. I got 7 minutes, and I'm going to use about 6 of them, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to start at that 11th verse. I'm in the Amplify. Therefore, being conscious of fear in the Lord, I want to make sure, because I'm going to start with this and we'll take up 5 and 11. Therefore, I'm in the Amplify. Therefore, being conscious of fear in the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over to persuade them. But what sort of person we are is plainly recognized and truly understood by God, and I hope that it is plainly recognized, truly understood also by your conscience, your inborn discernment. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion and sanity to be rightful, proud of us, so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearance, on the virtue they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them. For if we are beside ourselves, mad as some say, it is for God and concern him. If we are in our right mind, it is for our benefits. Hallelujah. For the love of Christ control and utter and impel us because we are of the opinion and conviction, if one died for all, then all died. And he talking about Christ, and he died for all so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves. He's saying people that's not born again, they live to themselves. Remember I told you, Jesus said, if any man gonna follow after him, let him deny himself. And we as born again believers, we don't live no more to ourselves. We live to please the one that saved us. We live to please, because I found out, regardless of who you are, when God allow you to be put on this earth, God have a purpose for you. But you will not find it seeking it from the natural. perspective. You have to get in God's word, and God's word will reveal to you your God-given purpose. That's why in Jeremiah it tells us that God know the thoughts he have for you and expect in good, thoughts of good and expect it in. It's God will for all us, regardless of the color of your skin, to be successful, to prosper. That's why Jesus said, I came that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. And I'm telling you, it's the enemy out here. And I'm saying this to we as born-again believers. It's the old saints used to say, watch your back. Be careful what you're hearing, how you hear it. Make sure what you hear it, even if it's from a born-again believer, that it's lining up with the word of God. Because the enemy, you got some saints, they done turned bitter. Remember I talked about how disappointment, the way you respond to disappointment, it can cause you to be bitter. It can cause resentment and rejection in your heart based upon who caused the disappointment. If somebody offend you, and then you'll let bitterness grow in you. And you'll find that you won't, I don't want to touch them. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. Remember 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter? Remember, that's the love chapter. It tells you about what love is, how we as born-again believers supposed to allow the love of God to control us, constrain us. A lot of people, they born again, they operate in the gift, but guess what? The love of God is not there. They doing it so maybe somebody can pat them on the back or whatever. But y'all, I'm telling you, it is so important for all of us to realize and know we all going to give an account. And I'm telling you, it is so important. And that's why I tell people, you go back. If you go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we start off with that chapter. How the love of God is not touchy. It's not fretful. It don't act itself unseemly. It's not rude. I stopped at the one rude, and God led me another way. But I'm telling you, when you are being constrained, when you being impelled and controlled by the love of God, you don't just treat people based according to color of their skin, but you treat them according to what the word is saying. We're going to have to, I'm coming in, and I'm finna close, but we're going to continue this. The spirit of reconciliation, we have it. People need to be restored. People need to know that God loves them. And if you are born again believer and you don't allow yourself to depart from the faith, you done got away from operating in the love of God, you ain't hot no more, you done got cold, I'm praying that you will be restored. Whatever caused you to get off, depart from the faith. I urge you, you need to come back to the Lord because you need the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for your word today. I thank you for those that tune into the broadcast. I thank you right now for the Holy Spirit bringing restoration. I thank you for restoration to those that have tuned into the broadcast. I thank you for spiritual enlightenment and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I pray that you would tune in with us on Monday from 12 to 1 and on tomorrow night on Friday night with Apostle Gwen, Apostle Armstrong, and myself. Enjoy the rest of your evening.